Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th day of April, Anno Domini 2026. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Have you paid your dues? Because we are in a pledge drive. This is the last week, we all hope. Yeah. Of the spring pledge drive.
Fingers and toes crossed.
And as you know, before I get to the news, I will tell you about this. As you know, we are public radio. We are public supported. We don't get government money. We don't get from any government, national, state, local, nobody. When we say we're member supported, we ain't kidding. It's so you folks. Me. Who keep these shows on the air, and it's you folks who need to make that call and make that pledge. We have the lovely and talented Michael Oden taking your pledges this week, so you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. If you're listening to the podcast or you don't feel like calling, you can always go head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and make your donation, make your pledge, and keep this show and keep this station on the air. We'll talk more about that as we go along, but right now, the news. Big shakeups at Apple this week. On Monday, Apple's chief executive Tim Cook announced he's stepping into a new role at Apple. In September, he'll become Apple's executive chairman. The new chief executive will be John Ternus, who is currently the head of Apple's hardware engineering. Taking Ternus's old spot will be Johnny Srouji, who pretty much was Apple's chip guy. Apple's had 7 CEOs, from Mike Scott to Cook, and it's had its ups and downs with each of them. The Cook era saw Apple's annual profit quadruple to more than $110 billion, while its value ballooned to more than tenfold to $4 trillion, a rousing success by anybody's standards. John Ternus joined Apple in 2001 and rose through its ranks as he oversaw the developments of Macs and iPads. He's taking over a company that has not created a new mainstream product in a number of years and faces questions about its business. Apple has lost several top executives in recent months, worrying investors about the depth of its next generation of managers and its long-term strategy, particularly with artificial intelligence, because, heaven forbid, we do anything without artificial intelligence. The company has largely stayed on the sidelines as the rest of the technology industry is committed to spending hundreds of billions of dollars developing AI. Apple is also navigating increasingly choppy political waters, including whiplash over the Trump administration's tariffs, a looming antitrust trial, and geopolitical tensions with China. Cook has been, mostly out of necessity, a diplomat, making regular visits to Washington and Beijing to try to manage often conflicting agendas of President Trump and Xi Jinping, China's leader. It seems like, in his new role as Apple's executive chairman, he'll be doing more of the same. While change is always scary, Apple fanatics need not worry. Apple remains one of the most profitable companies in the world, thanks to the stability of sales of its iPhones, products like the Apple Watch, and services including iCloud and Apple Pay. As long as Ternus doesn't do anything abysmally stupid, Apple will be okay. Remain calm. Remember, Ternus did such a good job with Apple's chips, they even let him run the new Neo. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple, Cook out, Ternus in. And your choices are great. Should be okay. I'm sad. No! And who? So far we have 28 votes and 21 of them are who? And that's fair. If you're not an Apple fanatic, you don't really know who John Ternus is. And of course, you can vote in the poll. It's really easy to do. Just head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And you can vote in the poll there. And when you're done with that, how about giving us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. You can talk to the lovely and talented Michael Oden, and then you can talk to us.
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation in the last few months about Tim Cook possibly leaving. There were a lot of reports from very reliable sources, and Tim actually tweeted out that, you know, I'm not going anywhere, which is technically correct, you know, the best kind of correct. He's moving up. But it apparently, so there have been several analysis talking about this, that a lot of the shakeup with executives leaving and vice presidents and head of projects all leaving, a lot of people figure there was a CEO change coming, because that's when everyone leaves.
Right.
Because the new CEO is probably going to get rid of all of the last guy's stuff and bring in new stuff.
New broom sweeps clean.
Yeah. Even if the last guy's guys were good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I get that. But like I said, I don't think Apple's going to go anywhere. I think that, you know, they've had their ups and downs in the past. There was a point where they were almost bankrupt. They seem to have come out of that okay. So whatever happens here, I don't think that it's doom and gloom for Apple.
Yeah, if Apple goes away, where is Microsoft and Google going to get their ideas from?
Exactly right. Well, Xerox.
Yeah.
Pretty much where that is. So, yeah, don't get too excited. We've got, again, there. You know, we continue to be in an era of not innovation. There aren't new products coming out, but that's nobody's bringing out new products. It's not like somebody else took over being Steve Jobs.
You got to think up what new things are needed. We don't know yet.
Right. And yes, Apple missed the boat on AI. But you know, if you look back, Microsoft missed the boat on the internet.
Yep.
And they're still okay.
And cell phones, and
they're still okay. So, you know, missing the boat on AI, which may be a bubble and may, in fact, be about to burst, is not necessarily also still a bad thing. So the reality is that everybody should remain calm. There's no need to burn your MacBook Neos and hide out in the woods somewhere. At least not because of this.
Yeah. Well, and the MacBook Neo, people are complaining it's a phone chip. It's the A18. The first M1 was an A15.
Yeah, essentially.
Because Apple had been designing their own chips for the phones for quite a while. So this is three generations better than an M1. So it's kind of an M3. And it does benchmark faster than an M1 in a lot of things.
Right.
Because the M1 is over 5 years old now.
Right. But people...
But it's not like the Intel world when they came out with the Atoms.
Yeah.
Or even the Celerons, which were so much slower than the... Main
processor line. That's the problem. They look at the phone chip and think Celeron.
Mm-hmm.
It, trust me, it ain't.
Yep.
It ain't. It definitely ain't. And my honest hope is that considering the state of phone chips from pretty much every main manufacturer, I wouldn't mind seeing more phone chips in more computers.
Yeah, aren't some of the low-cost Windows laptops running Snapdragon ARM chips?
And they run fine.
Yeah, no one complains about that.
No. Well, because, fine. But, you know, so relax. It's all going to be good. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Jeff from Greece, New York. Hi, Jeff, what's up?
Hi there. I have three computers. One is a laptop, and I have two desktops. And for the last couple of years, they've worked fine where they all back up to Google Drive, and the files used to live on my Windows 10 desktop. So about a month ago, I got a quick little message across the screen that said, caution, your Gmail is no longer synced. I didn't quite understand what the impact of that was going to be, but now what I'm seeing is for my Windows 10 desktop, where the files used to live, they no longer sync to Google Drive. The laptop and the other desktop are Windows 11, and they both sync to Google Drive fine and all the same folders. But when I go to the Windows 10, where they used to live, it never gets updated, and the Windows 10 files never sync with the Google Drive anymore.
And this is only on the Windows 10 machine?
Correct.
Yeah.
They used to live on the Windows 10, but now it doesn't. They just stay there. They don't go anywhere.
Yeah. All right. So, okay, it's a couple of things. First, make sure you have enough available storage space left on your Google Drive.
Yep, I do.
Okay. That's the first thing.
And the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the computer. If you do you restart this machine regularly?
Daily.
Okay. So I was going to suggest you restart the drive for desktop app. Are you sure you're up to date with that app?
I have it on automatic. Well, okay, if you're talking about the app for Google Drive?
Yes.
I don't know. I was worried to do much of anything because I didn't know what to be careful on. So
yeah,
I may not have it up to date.
That could be very much where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently there's a program called WebView 2 that Google Drive requires for desktop compatibility.
Okay.
And the best way to... The application should auto-update in the background. Should, because it's supposed to check for updates upon launching. But if you actually download and run the latest installer from the official Google Drive website, that will overwrite the current version.
Okay. Does it matter that I'm at the computer right now, and when I click on Drive, Google Drive comes right up?
Well, it'll come up anyway.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's not that it does or doesn't come up. It's that it...
That's
the other end is saying, I'm sorry, you're too old, we can't play.
Syncing isn't paused on that computer, is it?
All I know is that it's not working.
Right-click on the icon in the taskbar? Because you can pause syncing if you don't want it to suck your bandwidth for like doing a video stream or something. But then when you restart it, it should either ask you to resume syncing or just do it itself.
Okay, I'll make a note of it. I'm not seeing where I'm right-clicking on Google Drive when it opens. I'm not seeing...
I'm trying to think of...
Okay. Well, right here on the screen, it says changes will automatically sync.
Yeah.
And it goes... But they don't.
Well, that means automatically sync is turned off. So you're going to change it to turn it on.
Okay.
So, yeah, in the system tray, you should see a Google Drive icon.
Yes.
Click it. Click the gear icon. That's settings. And check to see if pause syncing is checked. Or it might say resume syncing, and you should click on that because that will resume syncing.
Not seeing that. I opened up your favorites, and Drive is right there as a favorite.
No.
In the system tray...
In the bottom right corner of the screen near the clock.
Oh, yes.
Is the little Google Drive icon.
Yes.
Click on that. It should pop up a pop-up menu. And one of the choices should be settings or a little gear icon. Hello?
Okay, yeah, I'm not seeing it. Who knows?
You clicked on the Google Drive icon. What happened?
Is the Google Drive icon... Let's see.
It's a multicolored triangle. Was it green and yellow and orange? Yeah, it's the same colors on the Google Chrome icon, but it's a triangle.
Right.
Instead of a circle.
Oh. Okay, I just found it up there. It was at the top. Okay.
Click on it, and what happens?
I get about a dozen options.
Is one of them settings?
Or a gear icon?
Or is there a gear icon?
No. New tab to the right, split view, tab... New window, reload, duplicate.
No, you're still in Chrome. You're not in the Windows taskbar.
Ah.
the very bottom right corner of the screen where the clock is, there's a bunch of icons.
I've only got, again, so this is a Windows 10 that was upgraded from Windows 7, so I'm wondering if maybe it doesn't have that.
Yeah, it does.
Is
there a clock?
Hold on. Yeah. If you don't see the Google Drive icon in your system tray, that means Google Drive is not running.
Or it's too small to see it, and there's a little arrow where you see more
or
icons.
Or there's a little arrow.
But next to the clock, there should be several icons for...
And one of them is a little up arrow.
And that...
Okay. Oh, see it.
Okay. If you click on the up arrow, you should see more icons, one of which will be that little multicolored triangle that is Google Drive.
And it's not there.
Then Google Drive for desktop is not running. And that's your problem. So download the installer from Google.
To make sure you get the latest version.
Make sure you get the latest version and install it.
Perfect.
There you go.
Okay, good. Thank you so much.
Sure.
All right. I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
So why did it stop running? Who knows?
Well,
you never know why. You almost never know why.
One of the updates could have changed it.
Yeah.
And it's Windows 10.
Yeah, and, you know, it depends on what security patches he's getting that might have changed some of that syncing.
Right. And Microsoft doesn't care about Google Drive, and they certainly don't care about Windows 10.
Heck
so. It is very likely that some update just killed it off, and there you are.
Shut it down. Well, they turned it off with no way to turn it back on.
Right. Right. Because you're not supposed to be using Google Drive. You're supposed to be using Microsoft's OneDrive.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
You want to save money.
Well, okay, that. I mean, that. Sure.
No, OneDrive. I want to save the file on my computer in my house that I bought.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for, and I don't remember the name now, but there are programs that will let you combine multiple Google Drives into one giant, what looks to you like one giant drive.
And even online storage from multiple companies.
From multiple companies.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've got three Google Gmail accounts, that's 45 gig.
Mm-hmm.
And they will look to you like one 45 gig online drive.
What? There's a program that will do that?
There's several programs that will do that.
Koofer, Multicloud. Multicloud.
Multicloud. Multicloud.
Obscure references.
Yes, we know it's a multicloud.
Mostly.
That's an obscure reference.
How does it handle, though, which drive it actually goes to, though?
It's all handled in the back. It's like having a drive array.
You got to go through, like, multicloud, though, to see where the file is being stored.
Well, multicloud opens up a folder on your desktop. That's 45 gig.
Okay.
And it's like having a RAID array. You don't know or care which drive that file is on or which drives that file is on. It handles it in the background.
The trick is always, how does it handle a single file larger than one of the clouds?
Right.
Does it have to split it? So
right.
There used to be a thing like that for the Mac. 40 years ago, where you could set aside a piece of your 5 megabyte hard drive.
Yes.
And so you have 10 people to set aside 1 megabyte. Ooh, no, I have another 10 megabyte hard drive to use.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there are programs like that that will give you... So, and as we've said before, Gmail addresses are free. You've got four, so you've got 60 gig.
60. Oh, and I use them.
But you could use them all as one drive.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I had to check that out.
And that means you could put folders in them, and you know, you do all. I mean, it's a drive. It's now considered to be a drive.
Yeah.
And I was looking into that. I haven't done anything with it yet because I've got a half a dozen Gmail accounts myself. In fact, I just opened a new one for testing just the other day.
The big concern on that is catastrophic failure. We have a client coming this week where their hard drive failed. No, their logic board failed, and of course the hard drive is soldered to the logic board. They have Carbonite backup. Great. Trying to download 450 gigabytes seems to gonna take a week.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter that we're on super high speed internet.
Right, no.
It throttles it.
it throttles it because it's the other end that that has to deal with that.
You'd think they'd have a giant pipe. Well, they're also accepting hundreds of thousands of incoming
streams. Yeah, well, they probably do, but it's the millions of other people that are trying to get
to it. So, yeah, it's we've talked many, many times, and on our website at soundbites.org, under some important links, the second one is backup, and you should be doing that. And there we talk about the 3-2-1 backup method, three different backups in two different places, one of which is off-site. And generally that means online. So, yeah, we recommend that. And one of the easiest ways to do that is to set up automated backup systems, because the weak link is you. Let's be honest. If you have to remember to back stuff up, you're going to miss something, or you're going to miss a day, or you're going to miss a file, or whatever.
Yeah. And you yourself can have multiple cloud accounts and manage what file goes somewhere yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you don't want to trust a third party to keep it straight.
Right. I do that. I use rsync, which is a program in Linux, and I sync to four different online sites, as well as multiple sites in my home.
As a side note, I was looking at Raspberry Pis again, and my friend does the videos on how to set up Raspberry Pis that I've told you guys about. He did a comparison on the prices of the Raspberry Pi a year ago versus now.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, he's in England, so he's talking, you know, a different times, different monetary value.
Right.
You know, value versus our value. And it's grown quite a bit because of the shortage of memory chips. You know, they've more or less doubled.
Mm-hmm.
If not tripled in some cases for the higher end ones.
Well, if you get, luckily, the Raspberry Pi operating system runs great in 4 gig of RAM. I've got Enright disease.
Four gig
of RAM.
I resemble that.
But, you know, 8 or 16 is, of course, better. On a Raspberry Pi 5 with 16 gig of RAM, people are running AI.
Screaming.
Mm-hmm.
They're running AI on it, for heaven's sake. So, yeah, but, you know, for the average user, 4 gigs is okay. 8 gigs certainly is
that's
nice.
What I'm running on, you know, three of my, right now, I've got Raspberry Pi 4s, 4 giggers, and they're doing my backups.
Yep.
You know, as one of
them. And honestly, you don't even need 4 gig to do backup. You could do it on a 2 gig machine.
Well, I'm storing a lot of other files in that they're from the other projects.
No, I'm talking about in terms of RAM. Obviously, you've got to have a lot of hard drive space.
Yeah.
But in terms of RAM, the operating system will run 2 gig, and the backup software will easily run in 2 gig.
That's where I lucked out. I don't know why I did it, but what was it, 2 years ago, I think? By mistake, I ordered 2 terabyte hard drives.
Oh, no.
And I thought,
by mistake?
Yeah. I double-clicked on it, and I didn't realize that I had double-ordered it.
Ah.
I was ordering 2, but wound up with 4.
Yeah.
And I thought, should I bother to? No, I'll just... And I threw them on the shelf. I have been so glad that I had those extra drives for the other projects that I've been doing. It's like, damn, even once in a while, I outsmart myself.
Yeah.
Was that writer you knew that had spare computers, not computers, word processors in the closet?
Osborne ones.
Yep.
She bought 3 of them. She was a romance? Bodice rippers. Yeah,
yeah.
Romance writer. And she bought 3 Osborne ones. And she said, if one dies, I just pull another one out of the closet. Okay.
Yeah.
She didn't want to learn anything new. She learned the Osborne one, and she was done, as far as she was concerned. Good for her. But yeah, I've got my Raspberry Pi 5 that I bought just before the RAM shortage hit. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you were lucky on that one.
You can still get spinning drives that are inexpensive comparatively.
They're more than
and
they
for
used
backup.
To be,
but... That's more than enough.
And for backup, you don't need anything else. Or and I have one running my Plex server because again, you don't need anything faster than that. You're pulling some video and showing it, and pulling more video and showing it, and it's more about the buffering than it is anything else. All right, we're going to take a quick break while you make a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. And tell Michael you want to become a member. We'll be back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 29 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And just a reminder, we are in the middle of the last week of our pledge drive, so you'll be able to call in next week without being embarrassed. But you know what? You don't have to be embarrassed because you can give us a call right now at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 800-790-0415. Talk to the lovely and talented Michael Oden and make a pledge. Or if you don't want to talk to Michael, you can head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and make your pledge. We're so close. We need you now.
Remind me the next break. I got to do my pledge. I'll leave my wallet there, and then I'll think of it.
I got to do mine, too. In the meantime, I'll read the news. Well, this month's Patch Tuesday is come and gone, so now we're well into this month's out-of-band updates. Microsoft has released out-of-band updates to fix issues affecting Windows Server systems after installing the April 2026 security updates. Some admins may experience failures when installing the security update on Windows Server 2025 devices. Additionally, this month's Patch Tuesday cumulative updates are causing some Windows servers with domain controller roles to enter a restart loop due to crashes of the local security authority subsystem service. Microsoft also warned that this issue may occur when setting up new domain controllers or even on existing ones if the server processes authentication requests very early during startup. Microsoft has released out-of-band security updates to patch a critical ASP.NET Core privilege escalation vulnerability. The security flaw is found in the ASP.NET Core Data Protection Cryptographics API, and it could allow unauthenticated attackers to gain system privileges on affected devices by forging authentication cookies. Microsoft discovered the flaw following user reports that decryption was failing in their applications after installing the .NET 10.0.6 update release during this month's Patch Tuesday. By the way, this out-of-band security update also applies to Mac and Linux systems that use ASP.NET code, so don't get too complacent. Microsoft has pulled a recent service update that was preventing some customers from launching the Microsoft Teams desktop client. Affected users are getting stuck on the loading screen and seeing the "we're having trouble loading your message, try refreshing" error message. On Friday morning, after acknowledging the incident, Microsoft said the launch failures were due to transient issues in the service infrastructure that caused some older Microsoft Teams desktop clients, client builds to enter an unhealthy state. Speaking of Teams, Microsoft confirmed that recent Microsoft Edge browser update introduced a bug that prevented Windows users from joining team meetings. According to an incident report, this known issue affects only users who are trying to join scheduled meetings or meetings via links. I'm not sure what other kinds there are, but okay. When it acknowledged the issue on Wednesday afternoon, Microsoft advised affected users that restarting the Teams client might help them work around it, or I suppose it might not. Tough. Continuing to speak of Teams, Microsoft is warning of threat actors increasingly abusing external Microsoft Teams collaboration and relying on legitimate tools for access and lateral movement on enterprise networks. The hackers impersonate IT or help desk staff to contact employees through cross-tenant chats and trick them into providing remote access for data theft purposes. Microsoft has observed multiple intrusions with a similar attack chain that use commercial remote management software such as Quick Assist and the rClone utility to transfer files to an external cloud storage service. Microsoft notes that follow-on malicious activity is hard to discern from normal operations because of the heavy use of legitimate applications and native administrative protocols. which is to say Microsoft doesn't know what the hell is going on your system. They know something is. They don't know what. Microsoft reminds users to treat external Teams contacts as untrusted by default and recommends that administrators restrict or closely monitor remote assistant tools and limit WinRM usage, RM remote management usage, to control systems. But you can trust us, honest. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. Okay, so we've got Patch Tuesday. Maybe we start calling it Oopsie Thursday.
Yeah, Exploit Wednesday and Oopsie Thursday.
Yeah. It
never ends.
It never ends, but it's every month. There's Patch Tuesday, and it is quickly followed by out of band updates and fixes, and out of band is panic mode for Microsoft. They prefer to just sail along and once a month do their thing
because they don't care what happens to your machine. Really,
yeah, they don't care as long as they get their stuff out on time. But suddenly they're in panic mode, and that's when the out of band stuff starts coming out. So we see a couple of weeks of that every month, and I get it. You know, there are part of the problem is not Microsoft's. Okay, the reality is that every Windows installation is unique in some way. They're just there.
Well,
it just
each computer is
right. Each computer is, and so you have a different set of software installed in a different order, on different times, in different versions than anybody else.
Well, the thing of it is you could order two desktops, say, from Dell today, both to the same specs, you know, say, as far as hard drive and memory and video card and that, and they're not going to be the same.
Right.
They're going to have different versions of the motherboards,
different chipsets.
Chipsets on the video cards, different types of memory depending on what's in there. So they'll still say, you know, say a 16 gig machine with a 2 terabyte hard drive, but they could be two different type of hard drives,
right?
Two different types of memory,
and the software that runs on them, and the drivers that run on them. So it's partially understandable. This is less of a problem for Apple because they control their hardware and software so much more closely. And so it's less of a problem for them. It's less of a problem for Linux because they just support everything.
They just don't care at all.
They don't care. They support everything. Yeah.
And Apple doesn't release updates on the same day every month. They release them when they're ready.
And so does Linux. So,
yeah, which is usually faster.
Right. Usually Apple.
Yeah, the person that found the bug fixes the bug.
And then they announce that they found a bug, and here's the fix.
Yeah.
But so that's an issue with Microsoft. And again, as Steve alluded to, Microsoft only sends out updates once a month.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the third problem is that Microsoft fired most of their quality assurance people. Most of their QA nowadays is being done by AI. And it misses stuff. It hallucinates. It lies. So I get it. You know, it's just they are living with those consequences. I guess it's easier to ask forgiveness than it is to get it right in the first place.
The only people they care about is their shareholders and how much money they're making for them.
That's right. And
that's the bottom line. You're just...
you're nothing.
Yeah. Your pocket lint.
They don't care about you. Yeah, exactly right. It's an interesting issue. It's an interesting conundrum that all of these companies have. And they approach it in different ways. Linux and Apple... Well, Linux approaches it in the community way. I find a bug, I fix it, I put out the fix, and then I tell people there was a bug and here's your fix.
Yep.
Apple finds a bug, fixes it, then tells people, here's your... But they do it.
Right, and they almost never tell you what the bug is. They fix... Well, and I can see their point. The bad guys look at the list of fixes and figure out an exploit. That's what happens in Windows all the time.
Yeah, they know what to focus on.
Apple never tells you what the exploit is, so theoretically no one can exploit it later.
Right, or at least it's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Microsoft does it differently, and you know, they're still the number one desktop in the world, so they're doing something right. But I don't think this is it. Personally, it's not what I would call the right way to do this.
Mm.
Excuse me a moment.
Well, it's because of, you know, by announcing, you know, like Steve was saying, though, as far as Apple not telling, that way they can't do like a leapfrog event.
Right, exactly.
You know, all right, well, you patched this. All right, well, we find a patch to go past your patch.
Yep.
You don't tell them what you're doing or where you're doing it in. They don't have a clue of what section to hack into to try to circumvent that.
You can cross-reference Apple's patches if there's a CVE published, a common vulnerability and exploit list. You can look at that list to see what the exploit was and then maybe reverse engineer it that way without them explicitly saying this is what is fixed.
Yeah, but it's going to take a lot longer and hopefully the time to do it.
But and they also credit other people that have found it, which is good.
In addition, both Linux and Mac people tend to do the updates immediately.
Yeah.
And so
it's
less of an opening for the exploiters, whereas Mac people or Windows people often wait.
Because there's so many problems with Windows updates.
Because there's so many problems, but that means there's a window where that exploit is known and you haven't fixed it. And again, if they can write their bots quick enough, the bot goes out and hits every machine on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And again, with both Linux and Mac, because it's incremental updates as they come along, the bad guys are inundated with exploits.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I guess I'll work on this one. Oh, wait, there's another one that just... Oh, wait, there's an... Oh, wait. Whereas with Windows, they're just handing you a list. Here's the exploits. There we go. I much prefer the Linux way of doing things, which is also the Mac way of doing things.
That's the safest way.
Yeah. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dave.
Hold on a minute.
The principal reason Microsoft does it their way, they have an announced second Tuesday of the month, patches will come out, is that Microsoft's important customers are enterprise.
Right.
And they don't want to have to deal with updating their thousands of machines every hour on a different machine gets different updates. They want to get all the updates at once, test it on their test machines, and then deploy it to their own customers.
Right, and we used to, back when I was a systems administrator, we would download the patches every month, put them on a test machine, and then decide when and where and how to do everybody's update.
I've seen that T-shirt. I test in prod.
Yeah. All right, to the phones. Our next caller is Dave from Canandaigua, New York. What's up, Dave?
Well, I just thought I'd throw a little tidbit out that I discovered this week. You know, playing around with Linux, and you need to make a like a bootable USB.
Sure.
And I found a program called Ventoy, and it makes a bootable USB drive, and then you can just download various ISOs onto that. And then when you boot the machine with the USB, it'll bring up the list of all those different things, the different Linux distributions like memtest or partition stuff.
ISO.
I was just talking about that. I made a bunch of different flash drives the other day with different Linuxes on it. One drive that can have all the Linuxes on it.
But it's got to be fairly large.
Got to be a big drive. Yeah.
But it does, you know, ISOs and EFI files and image files and pretty much everything. Yeah, Ventoy's a pretty interesting toy.
That's all I got.
That's all we need.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Yep.
So for those of you who play around with distributions, installing them, uninstalling them, Ventoy makes it a little easier to have a bunch of them on a very large thumb drive.
The next step would be to download the live ISO at the time and not need to even create the flash drive at all. have a bootable drive that looks at the source.
Well, and there are some drives that have done that, but they only do it on local lands.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. Somebody. The problem is that's certainly a great target for hackers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. I do get that. But Ventoy is a pretty cool little program as well.
And it's open source, so maybe somebody's vetted it. What was it the other day that I read about? Some long-time open source utility that everyone relies on and just assumed that the source had been looked at and it never had?
Yeah. There are several of those. One of the things is AI is doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
And finding all...
That's what it was, yeah. Somebody set AI on their own repository and found 500 new bugs.
Yep. And that makes it... The problem is that a lot of... GitHub is where a lot of people put their open source stuff so that anybody can download it, anybody can edit it, anybody can deal with it, fork it or whatever they want to do with it. The problem is that people are loosing AI on those things and sending in thousands and thousands and thousands of bug reports. Many of them are duplicates. Many of them aren't actually bugs because AI is stupid. And many of them are so inconsequential that they're unimportant. Like, this letter is wrong. You certainly want to fix that, but the choice between this logic doesn't work and you misspell this, two really very different levels of bug.
Yeah. It's like you can't print a purple ampersand on a black background on an ImageReader LQ.
Right, because it will crash the system.
It'll crash the system. I want to find a way to hook an ImageReader serial printer. It's got to be USB to serial. There were USB to serial adapters. I don't know if they're still
there. Certainly used to be.
And then find a driver for a modern Mac and
well, yeah,
to see if that bug still exists.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's the other part of the issue, of course, is obsolete tech. I actually found a zip drive in my closet the other day. I didn't plug it into anything. It was a USB zip drive, and I thought, no, all I need now is a zip disk, and I can hear the click of death all over again. But yeah, so there are reasons to hold off updating your Windows system. There are also very, very good reasons for not waiting. You make that choice. You've got to assess the risk your own self and deal with it your own way. We can give you all the advice in the world. I used to have to deal with that at work every day. That's why I run Linux. I get it. I get the need to assess the risk, and I get the need to not be first. But I also get the need to be safe. So be aware that those issues exist, and you need to, the bottom line is you are responsible for your own security. Nobody else is. When you get hacked, that's your fault. Either you did something dumb or you let somebody else do something dumb and didn't fix it.
Got click happy.
But the problem has become, with AI's help, the scams are so good these days. Ugh. It's really, really hard to tell the difference sometimes.
There's a CAPTCHA scam now that's telling people, copy this and paste it into this other program. And, of course, what you're pasting is malware,
mm-hmm.
or a link to malware, which then auto-downloads. CAPTCHAs don't ask you to cut and paste. If you get a CAPTCHA that asks you to cut and paste, it's fake.
Yep.
Do not do it. CAPTCHAs are those things that annoy you every time you go to a website and it says, you know, put the puzzle piece where it belongs or pick out all the stoplights or, you know, all of that nonsense.
You're training the self-driving AI.
Yeah. You see, and Google did that for years.
Yep.
One program,
there's one of those where you have to copy and paste into the command line.
Yeah, and that's...
And that's And it's just, it's a malicious script.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
One program that I've been using now for the past week trying it out is a program called Guardio. And I'm quite impressed because, like Steve was saying, there are websites that look so authentic, you know, in advertisements, you'd swear up and down that they're real. But the minute you try to go to them with Guardio, they'll come up and say, nope, this is fake. This is fake. Don't do it.
Well, Google does a lot of that themselves. So if you use Google search, even in other browsers, known malicious websites will get blocked.
But the way they're popping up so fast because of AI,
yeah,
you know, all they got to do is change one thing and then it's something different.
Right.
And I found this Guardio to be very helpful in some of the stuff. I thought, oh, that would be a cool item. And it's like, no, it's a scam. It's like, saved me quite a bit of money. Don't need it nowadays.
Yep, exactly right. Yeah, the scams are getting worse.
Mm.
The scams are getting better.
Yeah, I know.
From that end.
Yeah, better from the bad guy's end and worse from your end.
Right.
Yeah, because you can't tell whether it's actually a real site or not. You'd swear up and down. I mean, the way they can recreate, say, even a bank site or just ordering a product. They can put a fake product up there with create all kinds of folks and testimonies and everything else saying, oh, yeah, this is the greatest thing. I love it. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it might be only $20. But if they get a few million people to sign up for it and get it,
that's right.
And they can fake a legitimate website so easy because
mm-hmm.
you can grab company logos right off their own website.
Yeah.
Exactly right. And the big thing, of course, is the people who sell services.
Yep.
So if I were to put up, and I do sell services, I sell a newsletter. Okay, I get that. But if I were to sell, if I wanted to, I could set up a thing that said, for $20, I will check your machine. $20 a month, I will check your machine. I don't say I'll check it every month.
Mm-hmm.
I say I'll check it.
Yep.
I start charging you $20 a month.
I didn't say check it for what. Yeah.
Didn't say check it for what. I get your $20 a month. You sue me because I'm not doing anything. I can go to court and say I checked their machine, and for that I charged them $20 a month. That is perfectly legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
They signed up for that.
Yeah. There was an old scam.
Who lived in a shoe.
Yeah. Learn how to make money fast. Send $10 to P.O. Box, whatever.
Yep.
And when you did that, you got a letter back in the mail saying, open a P.O. Box and put up signs saying send money to. The guy thought he was safe because he was actually providing the service he offered.
Providing a service.
He still got nailed on postal fraud because it was an intentional scam.
Right.
But no, I took my $10 and I sent him a first-class letter. That cost me like $2.
Right.
The rest is my profit.
The rest is my profit. But if you were to do that online, I don't know.
Yep.
I'm not going to be the one to test that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Chuck from Penfield, New York. What's up, Chuck?
Hi, gentlemen. I recently created a dual-boot system, Windows 10 and 11. And when I set up the Windows 11, I disconnected everything but the disk I was going to install 11 to, installed everything there, and then reconnected the rest of the world. When I boot into Windows 11, I'm under the assumption that it's not going to bugger up any of my Windows 10 files that I'm going to be using when I boot into Windows 10, as long as I don't go changing anything from the Windows 11 world. Am I thinking correctly or not?
Not necessarily.
What I don't want to happen is when I go into my Windows 11 or my Windows 10 world to work on something, all of a sudden things aren't going to work.
Theoretically, that will not be a problem.
Okay. Is it a dual boot on the same hard drive?
Two separately distinct physical drives.
Okay, that's about a lot safer.
That's a lot safer.
Yep.
Yeah, it was about this.
When I set it up, I disconnected everything else except this one hard drive. That's what I installed Windows 11 on.
Yeah, that should not be a problem.
Okay.
Be careful what you put where,
Right, right. Yeah, be aware of where I'm putting stuff.
Right. Okay, so let me put, let me put it this way.
We'll catch you when I come back.
Anything that goes wrong is something you did. Put something on the wrong drive.
I do have another question along those same
lines. All right, so hold on. We'll get back to you after this. We're going to take a slightly longer break. The first hour of this show is done. There's a whole other hour coming your way, a whole other hour of Dave Enright, a whole other hour of Steve Ray, a whole other hour of me, Nick Francesco, a whole other hour of Chuck from Penfield. Well, maybe not a whole hour of him. And a whole other hour of you, but only if you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. Make a pledge to Michael Oden. Actually, make a pledge to the station through Michael Oden, and then you can talk to us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 4 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we still have Chuck from Penfield on the line. What's up, Chuck?
Okay, so part of the reason that I did this dual boot game was to see how Windows 11 was going to perform on my system.
Sure.
I have an Asus motherboard that does not pass the Windows acid test for going to Windows 11. It has a TPM capability. It doesn't have the plug-in. The TPM is embedded on the motherboard. I've got enough memory and everything. The issue apparently is I have an i7-6700 CPU.
Oh, yeah.
Which is not among their approved CPUs. However, what little I've done with it at this point, it doesn't seem to be an issue. Do you folks know, is it just a matter of we haven't tested these CPUs yet, or are there certain, there is an issue with these CPUs, and given enough time, you're going to have a problem kind of thing?
There's a couple of issues with older CPUs. One is that the performance is not as good as the new CPUs.
And I don't care.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay.
The other is related to performance in that it's how many programs you can run simultaneously and how well the multitasking works and all that, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's more of a performance issue than a things are going to crash issue.
Okay.
So, particularly if you don't do 50 different things at once, and particularly if you're not, like, editing video and audio and watching movies and ripping CDs and all that, DVDs and all that stuff simultaneously, you really shouldn't have much of a problem. Again, it'll be slower.
Right, right. But, I mean, with what I have running Windows 10 now, if I'm content with that,
exactly,
it won't be any worse than that.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now,
theoretically, it could be a little slower than your current Windows 10.
It could be. But The real issue will be that down the road an update may refuse to install.
Oh, okay. If it sees that,
right, and that we don't know.
When I get to that point, then
you got to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Yep. Bye.
Thanks. Yeah.
Would it be something in the chip itself not enough cash, L1 cash, L2 cash. So that's why the performance is lower?
Part of it is the cash. Part of it is some of the multitasking instructions in the chip itself. So those are the things that I know about, at least. There may well be many more. Those are the ones I know about. Let me just remind you that we are in a pledge drive. Please, please, we need to hit our goal. We need to make, according to the website, we're a bit short. A little bit short, and I think that it would be wonderful if you would head on over to jazz901.org, hit that big red donate now button, and donate, or give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. Talk to Michael and get yourself into the membership. We would love to have you. Before we get back to the phones, let me just remind you that I realize, again, these are parlous economic times. Believe me, I get that. But they are for us, too. And don't forget, we have Jazz-O-Matic. So rather than one big bite, it's a bunch of little nibbles. And you can join for as little as $10 a month for a year. It's a $120 membership level. And you just say Jazz-O-Matic, and we will then monthly, without you even having to remember it, take the money out of your account. Obviously, you've got your permission to do that. And at the end of the year, we stop. It's a one-year commitment. It is not. And you can quit any time. If your financial circumstances change, you can quit any time. That is a doable thing. So please make that call. Make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And while you do that, we're going to talk to Jeff from Greece, New York, I think, again. Is this the same Jeff?
Yes, it is.
Okay, what's up?
Just wanted to follow up with the three computers that I had. They were not syncing to Google Drive. I did what you guys suggested and installed Google Drive and the one computer, and everything works perfectly. Everything lives where it should live. They're all synced. And I just wanted to add that I do subscribe to a help desk, and I was on the phone with them this week for 45 minutes, and when they got done, I kind of saw all the stuff they were doing on the screen, and when they got done, they said, Jeff, you're all set. Have a good day. So I checked it out. Nothing. Whatever they did, it did not fix the problem. But in 10 minutes, you guys, bam, it's done.
Thank you so much. And that's why you're a member of Jazz 90.1.
Thank you.
Yep.
There we go. Thank you, Jeff. Okay, another unsolicited testimonial, ladies and gentlemen.
Good.
Thanks, Jeff.
I sometimes, it's hard to imagine. A customer tells us, I've been working on this problem for 6 hours, or I called tech support and we're on the phone for 5 hours, and I fix it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But then sometimes I've stared at a problem for 6 hours and can't find the problem for it. And then Tyler comes in and, oh, there it is.
Yeah. No, I get that. I do get that.
Quite often you need a fresh set of eyes.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a fresh set of eyes. But what we need are your dollars. And as Jeff said, he's currently paying somebody for a help desk and not getting help. We're doing it here every week, and we're helping people. That's got to be worth a little bit of money. So please make that call, make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. You owe it to yourself to see to it that we stay on the air to help you.
Yeah, because, you know what? We've only been doing this, 36 years?
36 years.
Coming up on 37.
Yep.
And folks, and you've heard me over the years say this before, anybody that's listened before, is we don't get paid for this. All three of us are volunteering our time every Saturday, in the middle of a Saturday, when you're doing lunch or going about your Saturday, we pack up ourselves around, we're on from 12 to 2, so I'm usually leaving the house a little after 11, and I know Steve's a little bit longer because he's got a longer drive. but we're taking out a good hunk of our day, say from 11 to at least 3 o'clock by the time we get back home, out of our Saturdays for 36 years. And we only
we feel it needs to be done. There's a need that we'd like filling.
Clearly there's a need. Yeah. People call.
Yep.
And they have questions, and that's what they need.
And folks have been, you know, for the most part, stepping up, like you were saying. Yes, it is, you know, hard times right now, but there is no wrong amount. Whether it's just a couple of bucks, we don't care. It gets us to that goal that we need to achieve so we can continue coming to you every Saturday from 12 to 2 to answer your computer questions and do like we just solved for Jeff, that he's paying another company to do.
And not getting the help.
And not getting the help. Paid for something exactly that right. Just didn't do zip.
So please make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll free at 800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Speaking of which, by the way, of 36 years on the air, yesterday was the 22nd anniversary of the Security Tango.
Ooh.
22 years we've had that thing up. That's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
That's a lot.
Tango your heart out.
Tango your heart out, baby.
And we've kept it up, too, you know, with recommendations like the Revo that's come along, and we've recommended that program and other programs. It's like I said, from day one when we first started with the old 286s and that, you know, we've kept up with the times. You know, what you need to do for your current machines. We haven't gotten stuck back into the 1990s, and like we were talking before.
Right.
You know, those days.
That reminds me, I had a customer come in this week and saw the Soundbite sign I have in the shop, and he said, "Oh, you're still on? I used to listen to you on the first station we were on."
Yeah. Yeah, I had somebody else say to them, "Boy, I wish you guys were still on the air." Excuse me. Yeah. So listen, if you're listening to this show, you need to remind everybody you know that we are on the air. We are on Jazz 901, 90.1 FM, and you need to tell people that we're here from noon to 2 every single Saturday.
That's how it is in the radio and TV game. When a show gets canceled, they don't tell you it's on some other station for you to watch. Well, unless that station owns the other station, too.
Well, when I was working at my store, I had somebody come up and go, "Wait a minute, I know that voice. Are you Dave Enright?" I go, "Last check, I am." They go, "We used to listen to you on Soundbites." I go, "Well, we're still there." "Really? Where?"
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I had to tell them.
So if you're a new listener, welcome, and make a pledge. My daughter used to get very angry when she was, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old, and it's all about her, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's that age, right? She used to get very upset when we'd go somewhere and somebody would know me, and they wouldn't know her. We went to Disney World, and we were walking down Main Street, USA. And my daughter said, "The good thing about this is nobody knows you here." And some guy in the corner said, "Hey, you're Nick Francesco." I thought my daughter was going to explode.
I had that happen in Toronto, so even out of the country.
Yep.
Although it was probably a Rochester person at the same convention I was at.
Yeah.
We reach Toronto, don't we?
We do reach Toronto. We've had callers from Toronto.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Toronto.
Yeah.
Right. And
at least not Quebec. Bonjour, hi. Yeah. You have to do it in French and English because you never know what language the person speaks.
Right, exactly.
Bonjour, hi.
And speaking of outside Rochester, we're going to talk to Will from Hampton, Virginia. Hi, Will. What's up?
I like the Canuckies trot.
Just skip that whole second syllable.
Well, it's that whole second syllable.
It's
Toronto.
It's there is no L in Albany. In Albany, and there is no first A in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've lived in all three places.
Issue with that.
Yeah.
I've lived in all three places. Toronto.
Well, I
Albany, Manhattan.
I used to live in Queens, so I guess I take a little issue with that.
I lived in Jamaica for a while.
No kidding. Two. I lived like right off of the Turnpike.
Oh yeah,
Grand,
okay.
Grand Central and Van Wyck.
Oh yeah, all right.
I was in Parkway Village, which was built by the United Nations for its employees.
Yep. No kidding. Small world. Well, what's up, Will?
So, occasionally, I ask Gemini for a water cooler topic, and one that I thought was pretty fascinating was the growth and evolution of orbital data servers. That's the thing. That was the thing for 1 week.
Well, but yeah, people think space is cold.
It is not.
It's essentially it's nothing. It's if you're in line with the sun, it's super super hot, and if you're not in line with the sun, there's no heat. But the computers that generate heat, there's right. No way to dissipate it. There's no air to dissipate the heat.
Right. The heat has to be wicked away somehow, generally by convection or whatever the other one is.
Radiation.
Yeah. And you can do some radiation in space, but it's slow.
Yeah. A lot of the best sci-fi ships, you'll see these giant radiating fins on them because that's how they dissipate. You wouldn't think that dissipating heat would be the biggest problem, but even the astronauts, spacesuits, is a self-contained spaceship.
Right.
The first layer is a cooling layer.
Right.
Because there's no way their body heat will leak out.
Right. So yeah, the idea of putting data servers in space is a great one, except for the heat issue.
That's why and the cost of launching it, what $10,000 a pound?
Yeah. But that's why a lot of them they're putting them on cargo ships. Which means you can use the sea as your heat sink. Very efficient.
Except for the wildlife there.
Yeah. Or you can put them in the Arctic or the Antarctic. Again, very efficient, except that it melts the ice caps.
I saw that. Yeah, definitely.
You could put them on the moon and use the regolith as your heat sink, except for the second and a half delay.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the whole latency issue with putting a data server in space.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. Mm-hmm. To the moon, it's a second and a half, I think.
Yeah, 186,000 miles per second, going 250,000 miles.
Yeah, it's about a second and a half, so 3 seconds all...
Round trip,
which, depending on the data, is not a big deal. I mean, it is a big deal in terms of latency, right? If you're playing a game, 3 seconds is forever. If you're just waiting for an answer, you know what's on my calendar for today? 3 seconds is a long time, but not insurmountable, right? So the real problem is the propagation of the signal, how quickly it can move through space. And that's the problem with data centers. Everywhere we could put them is either damaging to wildlife, or kind of impossible, or lag.
I was reading a science fiction story once. I forget the name of it, but there was an interface from the digital world to a parallel universe fantasy world, and so they would write out, you know, like the tweet and put it on a carrier pigeon and send it through the portal to the other universe. so that interface delay.
Yeah. But yeah, well,
what the title was, please?
No, I don't. Let me see if I can. I doubt I'll find it. It's one of those great books I'll never find again.
Yeah, right. But yeah, there's data servers are obviously, you know, the issue of power aside. You know, where do we get the power? Well, let's start up some more nuclear power plants. Let's tax the grid even harder.
That's probably the one thing that space-based labs could get is unlimited solar
solar, yeah, depending, yeah, on where you put it.
Yeah, right,
exactly. Right.
And solar energy is really growing by leaps and bounds as far as, you know, the materials.
Everywhere but the United States.
Yeah, but the materials that they're using for it.
Right.
You know, it's gotten a lot smaller and a lot more efficient. More power being able to generate in a smaller space.
The first solar panels were about 15% efficiency. They've at least doubled, if not tripled, by now.
Yeah.
And so...
up to 50% on some...
On some of them.
On some of them. Well, yeah, yes. You're probably using gallium.
Right. That well, that's the other
that we have to purify in space.
Right. So the average one is about 30 to 40% efficient, which is still double what it used to be. In fact, I was watching a YouTuber who had taken a bunch of bad solar panels, and they're bad because like one cell is gone or two cells are gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I bought them for pennies on the dollar and hooked them all up and got just enough power to power my house because, they're bad, but they're only bad in terms of 100% efficiency.
Yeah.
So they're 80% efficiency and I paid 10% for them. I win.
And coal-fired plant efficiency is only about 33%.
Well, exactly.
So solar is almost the same as coal.
Right.
But a little bit cleaner.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why a lot of places are putting, a lot of countries, for example, in Germany, they're putting solar panel roofs.
Yeah, the roofing material is solar.
Well, over highways and over bike lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And then using that electricity.
So then you shade the...
You're shaded, you're safe from rain and that, and you're... getting energy.
And then the cars will use less fuel because the air conditioning doesn't have to be on so much.
Right. So, there are a lot of wins. But orbiting data servers are not, I think, ready for prime time.
Well, there was the Larry Niven, Angels Down.
Yeah.
We could put a solar power satellite in orbit now and beam it microwave energy back to a receiving station.
Right.
And that would be 90% efficient. But if that beam misses,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You kill people.
You kill.
Oops.
Oopsie. The idea of an orbiting data center is great until you look into it.
Yep.
Thanks, Will.
Of course. Enjoy your day, fellas.
You too, my friend. Good topic. Nice topic. Thanks.
Yep. Definitely, thanks.
Yep. Bye-bye.
So, according to Wikipedia, natural gas is about 60%.
Yeah.
Nuclear is also about 30%.
Yep.
Wind turbine is about 60%. Hydropower, 90%.
90%. Thank you, Nikola Tesla.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all on him. So, yeah, it's not just what's hot, cool, and neat, but also how efficient is it? That translates directly into dollars, right? The more efficient it is, the cheaper it is.
I was joking about Bonjour High in Montreal. Apparently, the mayor of Montreal said, "Stop that! We're French." Because the
Montreal or Quebec?
Quebec. Yeah. The was it CEO of Air Canada had to step down because he gave the condolence speech in English only after that. Plane crash?
Yeah. All right, I think it's time to read some more news. Good news, though, for those of you who didn't feel your privacy was being invaded enough, Google says its latest Gemini update can scan all your photos to, and I quote, use actual images of you and your loved ones in AI image generation. That means Gemini seeing who you know and what you do. You likely have tens or hundreds of thousands of photos. They're all exposed if you do this update. This comes with Personal Intelligence, Google's latest AI upgrade path, which let users opt into connecting Google Apps to Gemini. Why search for a doctor's appointment when Google has access to all of your calendar events? Why search for a party invite when it reads all your emails? And why search for a specific photo of you and your loved ones to create an image when it sees all your photos? Thankfully, It's opt-in so far, so you get a choice so far.
That's what we want AI to do for us, but we don't want them spying on us to do it.
Right, exactly. What else are they doing with my data?
Yeah,
and your face or image.
Right. A set of 26 malicious apps on Apple App Store impersonate popular wallets, such as MetaMask, Coinbase, Trust Wallet, and OneKey to steal, recover your seed phrases and drain them of cryptocurrency assets. The threat actor used multiple methods to imitate official products, including typo squatting and fake branding. Typo squatting is if you took out the user domain google.com but spelled it G-O-O-G-E-L.com. So if somebody makes a typo, they go to you. That's typo squatting.
And that goes to Google. They thought of that.
They thought of that.
So most,
a lot of places do, but not everybody does.
Yeah, most companies try to buy misspellings of their own name.
Right, right. Because such apps are restricted in China, the attacker published them as games or calculator apps, likely in the hope of being perceived by the users as a trick to bypass the bans in the country. If they're doing it there, you can bet they're going to be trying to do it in other countries too, so be careful. Google announced on Tuesday that it's upgrading the Gemini for Home service with a continued conversation feature. Continued conversation allows a user to have a natural discussion with the Gemini platform without prefacing every follow-up request with the "Hey," followed by the word "Google" prompt. Gemini should retain the context as the conversation progresses, which should allow it to provide desired information faster without the need for a user to repeat key details, as if we aren't all paranoid enough. Apple has released iOS 26.4.2 and iOS 18.7.8, along with a warning to update your iPhone now. That's because iOS, both of them, fix a single security vulnerability in the iPhone software, which could be pretty serious. Google's issue tracker and multiple Reddit threads are filled with Pixel users complaining about battery drain. Many say their phones are losing battery even in the idle state when they're not actively using them. The scale of the issue seems fairly widespread. Google has acknowledged the issue and confirmed that it's working on a fix. There is no official timeline yet for when the patch will arrive, but of course we're here to take your calls right now. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 800-790-0415. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call. Talk to Michael Oden. Make a pledge. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 34 minutes after the hour, we are soundbites.
Still.
Wow. And, of course, we are in the middle of a pledge drive. Coming up on the end of the pledge drive, this is your last chance
to help
to pledge
us out
around soundbites. We need your dollars. We need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Or toll-free at 800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to the lovely and talented Michael Oden, you can always pledge online at jazz901.org. Just hit that big red donate now button, and that will do it for you. So you can do that easily, quickly, conveniently, and securely while I read the news. Ubuntu 26.04 LTS, branded Resolute Raccoon, is out now. It ships with GNOME 50, Linux Kernel 7, Firefox 150, Mesa 26.0.x, and defaults the proprietary NVIDIA driver to the 595.x branch. That means a lot to you if you're a Linux user, and nothing if you aren't. It's like many people just gloss over what the Mac, when I read Mac stuff like that. Canonical promises 5 years of standard support and 10 years of extended security updates via Ubuntu Pro, which is free for up to 5 machines for personal use. The move reflects a broader multi-year shift in the Linux desktop and compositor ecosystem from X11 to Wayland. For most users and applications, the transition will be transparent because X Wayland also runs legacy X11 apps. Earlier, this X11 and Wayland are the back-end graphical interfaces servers.
Is that part of the Wayland-Yutani Corporation?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Pretty much, that's what they named it. Earlier this month, Anthropic said its Mythos preview model was so good at finding cybersecurity vulnerabilities that the company was limiting its initial release to a limited group of critical industry partners. Since then, debate has raged over whether the model presages an era of turbocharged AI-aided hacking or if Anthropic is just building hype for what is a relatively normal step up the ladder of advancing AI capabilities. Mozilla added some important data to that debate on Tuesday, writing in a blog post that early access to Mythos Preview has helped it pre-identify 271 security vulnerabilities in this week's release of Firefox 150. So expect another update soon, and maybe more after that. Hackers are actively exploiting a critical vulnerability in the Breeze Cache plugin for WordPress that allows uploading arbitrary files to the server without authentication. The Breeze Cache WordPress caching plugin from Cloudways has more than 400,000 active installations and is designed to improve performance and loading speed by reducing page load frequency through caching, file optimization, and database cleanup. The vulnerability received a critical rating, critical severity score of 9.8 out of 10. And you wonder why I hate WordPress. A Linux variant of the GoGrab backdoor uses legitimate Microsoft infrastructure, relying on an Outlook inbox for stealthy payload delivery. The Linux version of the GoGrab backdoor uses hard-coded Azure Active Directory credentials to authenticate to Microsoft's cloud and obtain OAuth 2 tokens. This allows it to interact with Outlook mailboxes via the Microsoft Graph API. Just another reason not to use Outlook. Deezer said it received nearly 75,000 AI-generated song submissions to its music streaming service platform each day. 75,000 a day, accounting for about 44% of all daily uploads. It's at least less than half. Despite the increase in AI uploads, Deezer says the consumption of AI songs only makes up about 1% to 3% of total streams as the platform continues to remove AI-generated music from its recommendation algorithm. Framework, what a great company Framework is. I wish I could afford their laptops. Has a brand new pro version of its excellent laptop 13 design. Rebuilt from the ground up and featuring top-of-the-line Intel and AMD options, the 13 Pro still has the company's fully repairable, upgradable ethos at its core. The company says the Ubuntu version is outselling the Windows version. Of course, this information is coming from a promotional tweet put out by Framework, so take it with whatever grain of salt you feel is best. Our advice, though, is Primo and Spicy. So give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 800-790-0415. Yeah, I've been looking at the Framework laptops. As you know, I have a problem. And my name is Nick, and I have a problem. And it is laptops. I buy them. And I haven't bought one in most of a year. But I look at those laptops. Framework laptops.
They keep calling you.
They keep calling me. The frameworks are 100% modular, so you can change everything about them. You want to change the video driver, the video chip? Go ahead. You want to change the CPU? Go ahead. You want to change the storage? Go ahead. You want to change the I/O ports? Go ahead. You want to change the video resolution? Go ahead. You want to change the keyboard? Go ahead. That's how modular this thing is. Unfortunately, modular costs money. They are not cheap laptops. But boy, are they primo. They are amazing devices. And you can get both Windows and Linux versions of them. And it's nice to hear that the Linux version is outselling the Windows version. We've talked for 20-plus years, the year of the Linux desktop. We may be closer than ever to it. In fact, more people run Linux than Windows, and most of them don't know it. All the Steam Decks run Linux. All the game consoles run Linux. All the game handhelds run Linux. If you use the web, you run you run Linux. If you're using a Mac, you're running a mock kernel, which is Linux-like. If you're running...
Cousins.
What?
Cousins.
Cousins. The cousins. Kissing cousins.
Yeah.
If you're running a Chromebook, you're running Linux. If you're running Mac OS Chrome... If you're running Google Chrome OS Flex, you're running Linux. And, of course, if you're running any version of Linux, you're running Linux. So lots and lots of people are running Linux, more of them every day. And it is particularly nowadays that people are a little strapped for cash and wanting to eke a little more life out of those old machines. The ability to run Windows 11 has been curtailed by Microsoft because screw you and your wallet. But you can put Linux on those old systems and keep them running. Like I keep saying, my laptop here is 15 years old. It's going to die someday, but that day ain't today.
It's still cracking away.
Still cracking away. So, you know, and believe me when I tell you, it definitely runs Linux. It was a high end machine 15 years ago. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I spent good money on this machine back then.
Well, that's why we've said also to other folks that are getting these new Windows 11 machines. You know, you might have an old Windows 10 machine or even Windows 7 or 8. They're still perfect candidates to load Linux on and play around with and learn it now. Before you're forced to because of the stupid stuff that Windows is doing. You know, if they go to the pay service, which eventually they're going to do, that you're going to have to pay a yearly service for their operating system.
Yep.
You know, if you've people already got...
People don't want to upgrade now. They're never going to upgrade then.
Yeah. Well, exactly right.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got the perfect opportune system. We've told you, get a KVM switch, which allows you to switch... You only need one keyboard, one mouse, and one monitor, and you can switch between the two different systems.
With the push of a button, I do it every day.
Yeah, and learn both the Linux operating system while still maintaining your Windows operating system. And you don't have to worry about the Linux system as much getting infected or anything else. It does the updating, and you can make it look just like your PC. Whether it's a Windows systems or a Mac,
yeah. I want to tell everybody. I have to admit I lied. This machine has a Windows 8 sticker on the bottom. I bought it brand new. That came out in 2012, so it was only 14 years old, not 15. I apologize for the lie. I try to correct myself when I do lie. Please respect this time that I spend with me and my family. Thank you very much for your attention to this matter. But it is 14 years old and
still running good.
It runs great, as a matter of fact. Now, I did replace the ludicrously underpowered and small hard drive with an SSD, but also a small SSD. I don't need much on this thing, but it is faster because of it. It boots up in 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know...
That makes a
14-year-old machine that boots up in 8 seconds, yes, please, all day long.
Definitely help it. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. You can keep those old machines running. Like I've said for many years, I've put Linux and Chrome OS Flex on old laptops and given them to people, and it gives that new life to that old machine. And nothing annoys me more than the inability to do that.
Well, that's the thing, though. With most machines, when they die, it's usually because of the hard drive.
Right.
You put a new hard drive in it, and usually you can get another few years out of it. Granted, you might have lost all your data.
And if you didn't back
it
up.
If you didn't back it up. But, oh, well, if the board is still running and everything else is good... You know, why scrap it just because of a dead hard drive?
Exactly.
Pick up another hard drive and reload things and go from there. You can probably get another 5-6 years out of it.
Yep, that's what I did with this thing. I threw the SSD in there. I installed Linux. I pulled all the data off of a backup. Everything was there. And because, you know, a lot of the stuff that I did later on was on Google Drive, so I didn't have to do anything with that. but my early data were all in Microsoft Office, and LibreOffice reads Microsoft Office files just fine, thank you very much. So I lost no data. Everything was great. It was easy and fast and convenient, and it took me maybe an hour to install the drive, put Linux on it, and restore all the data from a backup. And now everything is coming up roses. And we're going to go to the phone. We're not going to talk to Rose. We're going to talk to Roger from Greece, New York. What's up, Roger?
I go on the web, and I'm not sure just how to describe all these stories that are posted. I look at a lot on World War II, and I've been looking at those for months, and everything has been fine, except in the last few days, I can't get any sound out of, you know, out of these stories. I've looked at each icon that I see on the screen and click, you know, sound icons. I click on them, and I just can't get sound up.
Okay, are you getting sound otherwise? Like when you start the machine, do you hear the startup sound? Or if you go to YouTube, can you hear the sound there?
No, I don't usually use sound. Actually, these YouTube stories are about the only place that, you know, I use sound, because I turn them on and I listen to them for 15, 20 minutes.
All right, so the first thing to do is to try some other sound source, like play a sound file or look at a different YouTube site or whatever, and see if you're getting sound there. If you are, then it's a problem with those particular YouTube videos, and I can't tell you what to do about that.
He could also check like one of the news programs, like MSN Now or one of those, which have live broadcasts that you can sit there and listen to clips.
And you want to make sure you didn't hit the mute key.
That was the next thing.
Which is the M on the keyboard. And you may want to just double check that your speakers, are you using external speakers or the speaker in the computer?
External speakers.
Desktop or a laptop?
It's a desktop.
Yeah, make sure the speakers are turned on, the volume is turned up, and make sure they're plugged into the right jack, because sometimes computers will have an in and an out.
The green one.
Right. The other thing...
Well, I haven't changed the plugins ever since.
Okay,
and,
so...
up until about a week ago, everything worked fine.
All right, so what operating system are you running?
Windows.
Okay, so down in the lower right should be a little speaker icon near
there
the
is.
Clock.
And I clicked on it, and it's set at 100.
Okay.
There's not a line through it?
It's got a orange line all the way across, you know, and to the 100 side.
Okay.
Right.
If there's a line through the actual little speaker icon, that means you're muted.
Right.
There is not a line through the speaker. I'm just clicking on it.
So it may be muted directly in YouTube, because that has its own mute icon.
Right.
I see.
Try first going to a website like MSN or NBC or one of those news stations, and usually they have audio clips there that you could try testing out.
All right, I will do that.
Also, on every video, in the lower left corner, there should be a speaker icon for each individual video.
Okay, well, I'm looking at one of the videos now. On the bottom of the, you know, the video window, there is a speaker there. And I click on that, and
Okay, right now it says unmute.
So you're muted.
You're muted, so hit the unmute and you should hear the sound.
Okay, I hit the unmute and I still...
You may have to raise the volume up also.
Okay, I've got the volume cranked up. Well,
the volume inside YouTube, not just the volume on the computer.
Right.
That
icon also has a little slider right next to it. It may be set to the far left, and you need to move it, or is it up and down on YouTube?
Left and
right. Okay, the slider is set to the end of its range, right-hand end of its range.
And you're still not hearing any sound?
I am not.
Okay, so again, you need to do some testing on a non-YouTube site. So like Dave said, go to MSN or, you know, some news site and play one of their news stories. If you still don't hear any sound, then it's a hardware issue. Either Windows has, the driver has gone bad, or
speakers
are unplugged.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe you kick the speaker unplugged. Do your speakers have a light on it when they're turned on?
Yes, they do. The light has always been on.
Maybe try unplugging it and plugging it back in just to be safe.
Well, and don't forget, there might be two ends to the plug going into the computer. There's the end that goes into the computer, and then there's the end that goes into the speakers. And if that's come loose, then you will not hear any sound.
Okay, I will check all those.
Sometimes just running the vacuum cleaner and the vibrations it causes can have the plug come undone.
The other thing you might want to check is the audio source, the audio output in Windows itself may have been changed.
By some other program. It may not have been something you did. So I think it's you right-click on that speaker icon in the taskbar, and that brings up the audio settings. There should also be a test speakers in there, too.
Okay.
I'm trying to see if we... I know we've talked about this before. Let me see if I have a link...
Right,
already.
So you can usually pick, like, speakers, headphones. Oh, do you have headphones plugged into that machine?
No.
Does that
no,
make
I, just, okay. I just have the speakers.
That okay. may take priority over the speakers.
Right. So on that same speaker sound icon in the bottom right corner of the Windows taskbar, we're not in YouTube anymore. We're out on the desktop, and down there where the clock is, that speaker icon, there should be a little arrow next to the volume slider, and you should, if you click on that, it'll show you the various output devices, speakers, headphones, whatever else you've got, and you can change which device is selected.
Okay, it says speaker Realtek R Audio.
Is that the only choice?
It seems to be. I clicked on that and it doesn't change.
Okay, there's no.
Is there a test tab or left and right? I'm trying to find the picture of it. I found a URL to Windows, but there's no picture. Because there's a test button that should play the left channel, then the right channel, then both channels.
I don't see any test button. I mean, there's the icon. I can click on that.
There's a Windows machine next to you, Nick.
Right.
No, I don't see anything there.
Okay, I'm clicking on speakers, Realtek.
Sound test. Oh, there's a website called Sound Test.
Sound test, huh?
Yeah. Devicechecker.org/soundtest. I will post to that also.
Okay.
So that will let you test the left speaker, the right speaker independently.
I see. Okay, I'll look for that.
Yeah, and also if you go into settings, you can look for sound, and you can look for sound output, and it will let you choose the device there.
All right, and where do I find settings?
If you click on the Windows logo in the lower left, there's a little gear icon when that thing pops up. Or you can, the little search bar right next to the Windows icon, you can just type settings in there. You can just type sound in there, as a matter of fact.
Is the Windows icon a little square with
yes.
crossed lines on it?
Yes.
Okay, I just clicked on that, and you said I should see what?
Well, all right, listen, ignore the little thing. Do you see the white, the
search?
Right next to it is a search box. Type sound into that search box.
Okay, search it down, S-O-U-N-D.
And it should come up with a list of things, including sound settings.
Yeah, okay, I'm on the sound screen.
Okay, and it should be sound output. You should be able to choose your device. There's also a troubleshoot button. Give that a try. But I'm sorry, Roger, we're out of time. I wish you'd called earlier.
I did. I apologize.
That's all right.
I forgot about calling you.
That's
check
all right.
Check our link list.
I'm sorry. We got to go. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Roger. I apologize. I apologize. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. Please call in earlier next week. And please, make that call, make that pledge, 585-966-JAZZ, 966-5299, toll-free 800-790-0415, or jazz901.org. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. You've been listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. We'll see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you?